Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back one more time. Tonight you're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting from the Golden West Side of Fresno. That's right, everyone, the Golden West Side of Fresno here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. It has been a long day. I have been up since, 5 o'clock this morning. Probably won't get to bed till about 11 o'clock, maybe 12, and then back up at 5 again. But we know we need to get 8 hours of sleep, but, you know, whatever. We're just happy to be back on the show again tonight. I'm showing a picture right now of Dr. King. Not sure what his age was at the time, but looked like he was meditating at some point of time in his life. I really look at a lot of Dr. King pictures and really look at his eyes and try to figure out what he was thinking or what he was meditating on. And just a very interesting picture, you know. I like pictures. I take a lot of pictures. You know, I'm founder of the Fresno Freedom School, and so I don't know, for some reason, I just like taking pictures and looking at pictures and things like that. But anyway, just want to give a shout out to everybody tonight. Thank you for tuning in. For those who tuned in last night, we had night before last, we had a hot show talking about the Fresno Unified School District and the black face that one of our white cheerleaders painted her face black, using the word nigger multiple times at home and at school. Reports I received today, there's been a series of fights. I believe there were 6 fights in one day, and a couple of, you know, just ridiculous fights. And so I believe the tension is really, really, really getting heated up out at the Bullock community. Met with the parents last night to kind of get understanding what they wanted to do and how they wanted to proceed for us dealing with this Bullock piece. There's supposed to be a recall plan to recall the school board member. His name was Terry Slatigan or something like that, Slack or something. And he went out and made the cheerleaders cry and, you know, told them to stop talking about the black face. And which, you know, I just don't understand how a white man can go and tell our babies to stop talking about something when they have a constitutional right to talk about whatever they want to talk about. But anyway, that's an entire different topic. But just want to give a shout out. I'm going to try to see who's online here with us here. We have our guest in the studio who's going to be with us tonight. Who's going to be with us tonight? Yeah, he's going to be with us tonight talking about an issue. He's a well-known ANS grading, a well-known brother in our community. Matter of fact, he's a pastor at that. Here in our community, he's self-employed, been self-employed for great some time. Has employed a lot of people in our community, giving them jobs. He's a farmer at that, a husband, grandfather, and great great grandfather, etc. Just a real humble, loving brother. You know, I mean, he gives his clothes off his back to someone if they needed it. And so he's on the line. He's waiting right now. We're going to just want to give some shout outs. Just kind of want to see who's on the line tonight. Who is that? Like Antoinette, look like. Just want to say thank you for tuning in. Who is this here? I need my glasses. I should have turned the light up on my phone here. I'm sorry if I get your name wrong. I can't see. I didn't turn my light up on my phone. but your last name is G E M I N I. But thank you for tuning in. Just giving you a little wave right there. Just want to acknowledge you. Lilies, hi. I haven't talked to you or seen you in a while, but thank you for tuning in. So anyway, we'll have more people tuning in as we go. Still early in the night. That Erica. Thank you, Erica, for tuning in. And so we'll have more people tuning in as we go. Let me just go to the board here real quick. Looks like we have some callers that's called in. I just want to acknowledge this caller here, 4644. We'll get to you in just a second. And let's go into our show tonight. Again, we have a contractor here named Al, Brother Al. Again, gave him an intro. He's a business owner, small business owner for quite some time here in Fresno. He's a farmer as well. He owns property and land here in the community. A&S Grading is his company. And so he gave me a call yesterday and was telling me about some issues he was having with the city of Fresno. And so I called him back and I was like, you know, hey, Al, what's going on? Because I haven't talked to him in a while. And he was, you know, going through his story, explaining to me, you know, I used to be a contractor myself. Well, I'm still a contractor, but I used to contract with the city of Fresno weed abatement. In case many of you don't know what weed abatement is when the rain comes in January and the fields dries up, we have vacant homes in the city. We will go out and clean those up. And saying that, moving forward, the city of Fresno has been a known institution and entity to discriminate against. I don't like using the word minority because I'm not a minority. But in the contracting field, minority is someone that is non-white. Okay. So when you hear people say minority, it could be a woman, it could be a black, native, monk, whatever. So the city of Fresno has these inspectors who are supposed to be giving out work evenly across the board. So if you get a work order, I get a work order, I'll get a work order, you know. And then the inspectors are supposed to make sure that, you know, the white contractor is getting all the big jobs and the black contractor is getting all the small jobs. So in saying that, that's pretty much what's been happening with the city of Fresno when it comes to sharing the workout, right? So if you're getting all the big jobs, that means that you're going to make more money than me. Then I'm getting all these small jobs. And so the city has never been transparent to the part to where they had a good system for us giving out work, because as we know, there's favoritism at City Hall. And so I remember one time Brother Al had came to me, man, it was about 7, 8 years, I don't know how many years ago it was, and I had to contact the city manager. And let the city manager know that, hey, you know, you're doing this brother wrong. And I believe they owed Al, Brother Al, some money as well, a couple of $1,000s. And it just seemed like every time we turn around, there's always a problem, you know, and they always want to make sure to make you think that you're the problem when their accounting system is all messed up and jacked up. And so I had to file a complaint, write a letter to the city manager, mayor office, probably about 25 years ago when they were discriminated against me as well. And I just basically wrote the letter and said, hey, I see you discriminate against me. I have all my insurances. I have this and that. All is in place, but yet I'm still being denied. So once the mayor's office received the letter, then the city manager opened up a PO in my name. So, but anyway, we're going to go and bring Brother Al in because I want him to tell his story, how he feels about it. And caller, just hold on. We'll get to you too. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're with Al Smith, black contractor being discriminated by the city of Fresno. Welcome to our show, Brother Al.
Thank you, Brother Harris. Pleasure being on your show.
Thank you.
Obviously,
thank you.
I don't know all the details, all the political ramifications that you know. As you can tell, I spend a little bit more time working, and that's not my choice. It's more of necessity. I run a farming operation, pastor a church, and then I do the contracting that I do with the city of Fresno, and I've been doing that for 19 years. And probably for that whole 19 years, unfortunately, I've been discriminated against. Mm-hmm. They have a Caucasian guy that owns his business, Sequoia Weston, and he's the favorite of the city of Fresno. So he gets, you know, most of the bread and butter, and they eliminate other people, telling them that they can't do the job that he does, or you don't have the equipment that he has, or you don't have the experience. And so they just eliminate people, but they haven't been able to eliminate me yet. But they're working on it. Now, should I continue, or do you want to?
So when you use the terminology, I just want to make sure. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or just holding it, or if you can turn your volume up just a little bit if you can.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Talk. Well, I hear you, but if you can talk more maybe direct into the little speaker of the phone. But when you use the terminology eliminate, what does that mean when you say they trying to eliminate you? What actually does that mean for its definition, so our callers, our listeners can really zero in on what the word eliminate means?
Well, what it means to me is that they have a favorite contractor that they want to give all the business to, and so they try to find ways that they can say, you're inadequate, you can't perform the work properly, this gentleman can do it to our expectations, and so really we'd like for you not to be part of the process. And so they try to come up with reasons, like you said, accounting reasons, why you're inadequate. Maybe your equipment is inadequate, which they tried to say was part of my problem. But when they came out, I showed them my equipment, and I really believe I have more equipment than the other contractor, although he gets more work than me. And when I finally discovered that they weren't doing things properly, and I was asking for work, that year I discovered he made $180,000 more than me.
So
and
there was the
month of February that I was asking for work, and they were telling me there was no work, but in examining the worksheet, it turns out that he got 50 calls to do work, and we got none. So to eliminate somebody, if you don't give them work or if you don't pay them for the work they're doing, it doesn't take long for people to say, I can't afford to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an elimination procedure. I mean, at one while, they owed me back pay about $80,000. Over several months. So all of a sudden, when you need to buy materials or whatever, you don't have the liquid cash to do those things. So and it's all part of a process of elimination. You either don't get the work or you don't get paid. So if you don't get the work and you don't get paid, and then they talk about you don't have the equipment to do the work, or you're not prompt in getting to the job, or they come up with excuses about your accounting, and they make you like you're the bad guy, and the other contractor is the good guy, he's excellent, it's all a part of elimination.
So that our listening audience is with us today. We have some more people that's watching live stream. I want to thank you for coming to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show here in Fresno, California. We're broadcasting off the Golden West Side here with Brother Al Smith, A&S Grading. He's been a contractor here, African-American contractor here for the city of Fresno for over 19 years. And so you don't be in something for 19 years and you're not doing it right, okay? And so I think what we have to really put the framework here, when we start talking about elimination, we have to understand that the construction industry here in America has always been driven by white male dominancy here in America. It's always been white, even in the farming industries here. We know through slavery and through over 400 years of being a slave that the USDA, United States Department of Ag, have discriminated against African-American farmers here here in America. And so there's really a history when it comes to and I like that word you use, eliminating black small businesses and black businesses. Because the fact of the matter is that if we as small businesses cannot get contracts, then we cannot provide for our families. We cannot create job creation in our community. And so I think that me working for the city of Fresno, me knowing firsthand what Brother Al is saying is true. You have inspectors down there who are favoritism toward the white contractor, and this inspector is constantly giving them work. You know, he might give him 50 work orders to your one work order, and it's like, you know, well, how is that fair? You know, so the system that we have today, here in Fresno, as well as across the country, is really a bias system that intentionally want to choke out and suffer black small businesses here across the country. And so, again, we're with Brother A&S Grading here. So have you had a conversation with I know you were telling me about there was the bid had came out and they didn't tell you that it was out, and then you luckily found out about it. Can you engage the listening audience on that conversation we had?
Yes, you know, again, that's part of the elimination process. I mean, they don't have to fire you or do something more drastic. You know, they can starve you out. They cannot give you work. They cannot pay you. Take a long time to pay you, so your money's tied up. But in this case, they've not been able to do either of those things to me. They tried. They held back my money. They've not given me, you know, the same amount of calls. They've said my accounting was terrible and blamed a lot of things on me. The quality of my work's not good. The last thing that they're trying to do, and they're presently in the process of doing, they did what they call an RFP, which means they opened up my position, the thing that I do with the city of Fresno and code enforcement, weed abatement, and public nuisance. They've opened that up so anybody could bid on the job. But they forgot to tell me that they opened it up, and I needed to apply by a certain deadline, but not knowing about the fact that it was opened up and not knowing the deadline, it almost closed before I was able to get my application in, which meant I would have been out automatically. They would have eliminated me, and then they would have dealt with the people that knew about it, which the white contractor knew about it, so he got his application in and all of his information in plenty of time. Then you have the other people that don't know the job that apply. Well, they can't. It's very hard to bid what I do because you've got a bit bored of. So if you've never done, you've never figured out the cost of plywood, you've never figured out the cost of this Plexan, this plastic called Lexan, you've never figured out how much it costs to disc a lot. You don't have the tractor to do it. You don't have the trailer to carry your equipment around on. You don't have all the weed eaters, all, and you don't know what they cost and how long they last. It's hard. There's so many variables for anybody to come in and just say, I'm going to bid this job and know I'm bidding it right. Because you've got tires that you've got to bid that you have to, that once you pick them up, you've got to turn them in and you've got to pay to turn those things in. Different tires cost different prices. You take a tractor tire that may cost you $30, $40 to get rid of. If you don't know that and you bid that thing at $20 because you just don't know, or you got a truck tire or you got a car tire, you have to know all those variables. Well, we've done it long enough so we know that. So they knew that anybody coming in trying to bid this business would just not have a ghost of an idea how to bid it. Only us and the other Caucasian contractor could halfway bid, could bid the process and know we could make money or lose money. So that's why they made sure that I didn't know about it, but I found out at the last minute and I got my bid in. And so that posed a problem because the white contractor's bid was higher than mine. Now, normally you pick the lowest bidder, and you would think that because I was a minority contractor and because I bid in it anyway and I'm MBE, a minority business enterprise, DBE, disadvantaged business enterprise, WBE, woman enterprise, my wife, that they would say, well, this is entitles this gentleman that's worked 19 years with the city of Fresno and he's got the lowest bid, that should automatically shoo him, but I'm not who they wanted. So then they had to come up with other qualifications that would help them justify using the Caucasian gentleman. But they didn't tell me about that. And I'm thinking, well, I'm the lowest contractor, but I'm still thinking this probably going to use both of us. They're not going to give me all the work, so they're probably going to use both of us. But then I find out at the last minute that they're taking it to council to award the contract to the white contractor. So how does that work?
Okay, so let's rewind for a second. So you're telling me that you barely had enough time to put your bid in because they let you know that there was a bid, so you barely got it in, and then once
they didn't
you
even
got,
let me know. I've been a contractor for them for 19 years. They didn't let me know it was open for bidding.
And then once you put your bid in, you're saying that you are the lowest bidder, right? Prices. That's what we're talking about. Prices. You're the lowest bidder. The other
right.
white contractor, the one who they're giving all the work to, his bid is higher than your bid. You're the lowest bidder. He's the highest bidder. So in contracting, the job, the contract will go to the lowest bidder, and that will be you. Am I correct?
Normally that's the process. But in this case, they told me that I talked to purchasing, and they told me there were some other factors that they used. I said, well, what are these other factors? They said, well, just outside references that we get from people. Well, what references did it give you that were so important that mine weren't as important? What other factors? I said, obviously he wasn't a minority. Obviously he wasn't disadvantaged. Obviously he wasn't woman. So none of those things played a part, and obviously the lowest bidder didn't play a part, and obviously the fact that I've been working for the city for 19 years didn't play a part either. So what are I need to know what these other factors are now.
So
that's the only other thing it could be, the other factors.
Did they explain to you what the other factors are?
No, that's the one thing they did not explain to me. And the other thing is that in the 19 years that I've been working for the city of Fresno in code enforcement, I had never seen them. In this case, after the bids and everything were in, they put together a committee to determine who got the bid. I said, I've never heard of that. All the other times when they hired somebody, I never heard of them putting a committee together to hire a new contractor. Did they do that when they hired you, Brother Floyd? Did they put a committee together to hire you?
I never heard of that. What committee?
I don't know where they got the committee from. I don't know what the qualifications of the committee is. I don't know where the committee got the information. I don't know what work experience the committee has in the area that I work in. I know nothing about the committee, but I have a strong suspicion that the code enforcement people know all about the committee. And I don't think their qualifications are that they've worked in this business, that they know the business, that they're one of the inspectors that goes out. I don't think those are the qualifications, but I don't have a clue. But all I can say is that what other factors did this newly put together committee come up with? Obviously, they didn't consider, you know, from talking today, I don't think they considered at all MBE, DBE, WBE at all. That was what I was kind of information I got today. I said, well, that's supposed to give us some extra points. If we were close, that should have put me over, especially since my bid is lower.
You may be saying, well, what does he mean by MBE and SBE and DBE? Just these different acronyms. So what has happened in America in the construction industry is that the white man is the only person or only let's just say the only person that's not a minority. Everyone else in America is a minority, from women, white women, to whatever ethnic we're going to talk about, except for the white man. So mm-hmm. What has happened was the state of California, because what happened was when you start getting into these million and billion dollar contracts, the white man was using his white woman to use her as a minority, as a front, as if the woman was the owner of the business, but it was really the white man was the owner of the business, so that the white man would go out and get the contracts. So the state of California said, we're going to implement this policy where we're going to come out and interview you, look at your equipment, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then we will certify that this company is not ran by a white man, but is ran by a minority, which could be a white woman, black man, native, you know, whatever. Okay. So what Brother Al is saying is that with all of his credentials, you know, MBE, small business enterprise, disadvantaged business enterprise, all that comes into play when we start talking about contracts, because then we start talking about percentages of winning contracts. So not that Brother Al was A&S Grading was the lowest bidder, right, and have the equipment, right, because he'd been doing it for 19 years, and have the experience, right, he was still thrown out of the process, and the contract is given to the white contractor. So now what happens is that someone has snuck, timed it to where now they want to push this to the Fresno City Council to vote to give it to one contract. Now, do you know, Al, why they're only choosing one contractor when there used to be multiple contractors?
You know, I could only guess. The Caucasian contractor is complaining about he's not making enough money, and so they want to give him the opportunity to make more money. And so they figure I did a little bit of the math, and if they give him this contract, in the next 3 years he will make over $1 million. In the next 3 years. So he'll be happy, and he'll start doing all the work. Because right now, from what I understand, he's not happy with the amount of money he's making. So he stopped doing his part of the contractual work, which is the weed abatement, and only doing the part that gives him bread and butter, which is the board ups, you know. So he's not doing it. So now we're doing all the weed abatement. I'm saying, well, you've got to, did the committee know that he quit doing the weed abatement? Shouldn't that have been one of the factors that they considered? We've got a man that quit, refuses to do this part of the work, and he's only going to do the bread and butter. Well, what happens if you get down the road 2 years from now and he's not making the kind of money he thinks he should make then? Is he going to quit on you again? I mean, shouldn't that have been one of the factors they considered? Don't you think? I'm still doing it. I'm doing it all. I'm doing the part that he won't do.
So you're saying he intentionally stopped doing a portion of the contract.
Right.
Which then may you have to do, but you're saying he, because of his white privilege, he decided what he's going to do and what he's not going to do.
And what do you think they'd do to me if I did that?
Well, see, that's the whole problem with Fresno. I mean, even with this Bullard situation with the blackface and this trustee going out grabbing on kids and jerking them and hollering and screaming and intimidating and bullying. But had it been a black man that did the same thing he did, the helicopter, the sheriff, the high patrol, the police, the SWAT team, everything would have been called if a black man does it. But if a white man does it, he has his special white skin, he has his special privilege, he has his white superior, his white dominancy. It's just really criminal to see this double standard in 2019. And I'm saying, I mean, I really tip my hat to you, because you know you just could have laid down and said, you know what, forget it. You know who can buck City Hall? You know, but you didn't say that. You say, you know what, I'm gonna do my research. You know, I'm gonna look into this. I'm gonna talk to people. And you're finding out that there's an injustice going on here. Black people in Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno, there's a double standard when it comes to white folks doing things and black folks doing things. Okay, you want to throw the book at black folks when they do make a mistake, but when white folks do something, you just say, oh, you know, it's just human error.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, I mean, and I was talking about this today, brother. I was on 88.1 FM, and it's like I'm saying, you know, when our ancestors paid their lives, hung, died, bled, raped, murdered, thrown in the ocean, tied up on a railroad track, taking a stand for us today, and it seemed like black folks in Fresno, some, not all, we're just complacent and relaxed. Like, everything is just okay in Fresno. And it's not okay. I mean,
no, it's not.
I can't even get men to stand with me. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like some of us just scary. We're just, I'm just going to call it what it is. I'm not saying all, but majority of our black men. And maybe you have a right to be scared. Maybe you have a record and you don't want the system to look you up and say, oh, yeah, okay, we know you did something when you were young. But when do we stand up and be men? When do we stand up for our family? See, that's the part I can respect about you, Brother Al, is that you're taking a stand, okay? And that's our ancestors did in this country. When injustice happened, we stood together as black men and black women. That's not happening in Fresno right now as I speak.
Because you know what, Brother Floyd? Here's the way I feel about it. Here's the way I feel about it. If I don't stand up and let them run over me, and and I really have all the things, the way I look at it, in my favor. If I could lose by having and with all the things in my favor, if I can't stand up when I say, you know what, I've done nothing wrong. I've got, you know, I can do the job. I've done the job. All the pluses. If I would roll over and die now, what message would that send anybody else that might run in the same situation I'm in? I want to be that. I want to kind of be a light to someone else that says, you know, when you run into these problems, don't back down. Stand up to the problem, win or lose. Let them know that they fought against you. They didn't just walk. You played the game. You were in the game. That's what I'm trying to say. I may lose. They may give this contract to the white contractor. But you know what? They're going to know they fought against me. They're going to know I was in the game. That's what I say.
See, and just what you said is very, very important, because you stood up as a black man. You see, you're standing up for yourself, and you're standing up for your children. You're standing up for your wife. You're standing up for the future black contractors that's going to come after you. See, that's what we see. That's what we forget in Fresno. Because we're just, you know, oh, well, you know, it's not my problem. And, you know, and you know, he must have did something wrong. I mean, it's just the same way with police issues. Well, the kid must have did something wrong for the police to beat him up. I mean, we got a case right now that we're going to talk about. In a little bit about how Fresno PD, and I think Brother Doug Best has sent me a message, wanted to talk about that a little bit, and I am, Brother Doug, is that here it is, you have a young man, they're doing a raid. They're doing a raid. It's on my Facebook, if those of you want to see. The police at Fresno PD is doing a raid. And they're pulling these brothers out of the house, right, setting them down, you know. But this one brother they pull out is like, you know, what are you trying to handcuff me for? He wasn't resisting. There was nowhere for him to run. There was about, looked like it was upstairs, looked like, don't quote me. There was about 15 police officers in one spot. Talking about Fresno PD. This is Chief Jerry Dyer, his plantation that he's been running under his administration and his ideology of white supremacy. And he had all these officers. And this young man is just like distraught, like, what is going on here? And here comes this police officer out. I mean, he passed up at least two police officers. None of the police officers are like, you know, worrying about anything. The guy just taking a step here, you know, turning a step. No threat. And here comes this police officer out of the blue and just starts socking a little black baby in his head like he was a punching bag. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at this saying, no, this just didn't happen in Fresno. And I rewind, I said, this did happen in Fresno. I mean, Brother Al, he was, I'm telling you, he was punching this young man who was not a threat like he was a punching bag. I mean, this police officer was rearing back, slamming, I mean, headshots to this young black brother. And then you want to wonder why black people don't like police. So, you know,
it's certainly understandable.
I can respect you coming on our show tonight saying, hey, I've been done wrong. And I need, and I'm letting the community know, I'm letting all the supporters know of Dr. Harris come on the show. I need for you all to stand with me, because if this happened to me, it can happen to someone else that's black.
That's right.
I was the lowest bidder. And I have my credentials to show that I am a minority contractor, which means that the white contractor don't have those credentials.
That's right.
Then you turn around and say, oh, well, there was a committee that decided there was other criteria. Well, I don't know about the criteria. Who was the committee? What are their names?
Right.
Where did they come from? Are they black?
What's their experience?
Are they white?
What's their
are they yellow?
Yeah, what's their experience? Right.
Now,
what's
give me some information before you start snatching anything from me as a black man, because I pay taxes in this town and I have a family to raise, and I'm a businessman. So where's all this committee stuff come from? We've never heard of this before. You see what I'm saying? So this is the injustice that is happening in this city day in and day out. And until black men like you, Brother Al, stand up and say, you know what? I might lose this fight. But you know what? If I lose this fight, it's not going to be because I didn't sit on my behind.
That's right. They're going to know they fought me. That's my.
You see what I'm saying?
They're going to know they fought me. Whether I win or lose, they gonna know they fought me.
And matter of fact, and I'm gonna say this to everyone, because everybody know me.
Mm-hmm.
Some know me, some like me, some hate me. So whatever your case is, the bottom line is, when you mess over black people, oh, you got to deal with me now. So therefore, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I'm calling the mayor's office, and I'm going to call my city councilman, Miguel Ayres. I hope he's listening tonight. I hope he's listening tonight. Because I'm going to tell them that we have a black man named Al, A&S Grading, who bid it on a contract, who is the lowest bidder, and the contract went to a white man.
Well, Tomorrow it's supposed to go to council for approval to go to him. It's pending approval to go to him. The council has to approve it. They were supposed to deal with it last week. I just say God's in the plan, because they didn't, which gives me a chance to be prepared tomorrow for the council meeting to go in and say, this is what I think about it. These are the issues, and I can deal with the issues tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. But tomorrow morning, I will be in council with the council people with my rebuttal to that opinion.
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to open up the lines here real quick, because what I always do, this Brother Al, is that black people have to support black people. We want all people to support us. But I'm specifically talking about black people right now, because we're the one that has the problem in Fresno that cannot support one another. Okay. When Miss Aline Reed Tree bust her mother's water line, she was 100 years old. The city wanted her to pay for that. And I told her mother, no, she's not going to pay for that, because the city planted the tree by the water main. And if they planted it by the water main, why should her mother have to pay for it?
Right.
You know
what I'm saying?
So let's just keep it 100 right now, okay? Miss Aline Reed mother been here for 100 years. She asked you not to plant the tree. They probably wasn't alive then, but she asked the city not to plant the tree back in 1950. They planted it anyway. The roots busted the water main line. So the city said, well, anything past here, the property owner has to, it's their responsibility. I said, no, you planted the tree. She didn't plant the tree. She didn't want the tree there. Now, if you think she lied, we can do a lie detector test. They didn't want to do that. Okay, so you're going to pay for the removal of the tree, and you're going to pay for all the money that she done paid for the water leaks for the past 8 months.
Wow.
Okay, so this went viral all over the country, okay? Because see, that's the network we have. I'm just not a local, you know, paper boy like people think I am. Anything we do is international. I got folks in Finland, South Africa, all over. So I'm having all these people call City Hall saying, no, you need to fix that for her. And can you believe that they went out there? And they fix, and I gave them three demands. I said, the first demand, remove the tree, fix her water main, and give her 8-9 months of back pay. And do you know they gave her all three?
They did, huh?
See,
that's
the power.
And that's the right thing to do, though.
That's the power we have as people and networking and supporting one another. And that's what I'm trying to educate our people in Fresno. But this city has put so much fear into people. Let me open up the calls. Let me just say this, Brother Floyd.
Let me just say this real quick. I have tried to contact people to get information to put my program together for tomorrow. I have had people that just won't call me back, won't take my calls. Okay, they just won't.
Who did you call?
I've called like purchasing. I've called, you know, just different city officials that have some details that would help me out, and they just don't call me back. They just don't. And I say, you know, it's amazing how you call these people and they just will not. But they know. They already know. So, you know, I'm bad news. They don't want the bad news. They don't want anybody saying that they had anything to do with me. You know what I'm saying? Not at this point.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. We're going to open up the lines. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the phone number of the mayor's office and some different phone numbers. I'm talking about decision makers. And I want our supporters to call in tomorrow and tell the mayor's office and whatever city council district you live in, if you live in one, that there is a discrepancy here. There's whatever terminology you want to use, racial issues going on here, that this vote needs to stop and take a second look at this, because there's a black man is being done wrong. Now, Fresno has been in the news enough for the worst stuff that a city can ever have. Now, if they want another fight with us, we can give them a fight, but we don't want to fight. But if they want to fight, then we'll fight. So I'm going to open up the lines. I'm going to get these phone numbers there. 4644, then we're going to open up to 5172. 4644, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. You have a statement, tuning in, listening.
Yeah, I was listening to the gentleman talk about his problem. I was going to ask some questions.
Yes, sir.
What type of projects were these that you was he was bidding on? Are they state funded, city funded, partially federal funded?
From what I understand, it's been city funded from the general fund. So it's, you know, this is the first time really that I've heard of anyone bidding. I didn't get this job by bidding on the job. I got the job by applying for the job. This is really kind of a new experience, and I think the whole experience this time was really to eliminate me, because this time they wanted you to bid. I didn't get the job by bidding. I don't think Pastor Floyd got the job by bidding. I don't think anybody that I know that's done this work got the job by bidding. This is something that I said, they created something new to eliminate me.
Well, I never have heard that before. I'm used to, you know, jobs going out, projects going out by way of bid. And, you know, I was structure still erected. The past about the way blacks do these jobs around the country. I don't know what's going on out in Fresno, but I erected buildings like the one that fell down in New York during 9/11, bridges and so on and so on. And I've been in that business for over four decades. Right up to four decades.
Wow.
But I never have heard of what you're saying, that you have someone that gives one job here and then another job is if you're standing in line. And
the way it kind of works is that the city, you know, when people don't clean their lots, well, the city pays what it was two or three contractors to do it, and so they decide what before it was like they decided what contractor they'd get a job to, and they were almost always calling the white contractor, till I discovered that, you know, he was making all the money and I wasn't. So then I made a complaint. I went to the city count. I went to the city manager, thanks Brother Harris and some other people, and they then decided that they were going to
What's the size of those contract amounts? Maybe they fall beneath a certain limit.
Well, what is because you know, you may clean you may do one cleanup job, and the cleanup job may be $150. You may do another one like we did the other day, a $10,000 job. So it just depends on, or you may go out and do a board up where, you know, where maybe homeless people have been living in this house, so they say, okay, we want to board this house up. You go out there and you, it's a $400, $500 job.
Yeah.
You go out and do an apartment complex, and it's, you know, $2,000 or $3,000.
It sounds like to me, that they have a limit of so many thousand dollars, maybe $100,000 or something like that. Then they resort to that type of awarding. It sounds like you don't have any specifications that list the description of the job and what you're required to do, and so on. So I understand that you.
No, they do have. They do have descriptions of what you. They have a description of what you're supposed to do. It's a pretty lengthy description for each job, and like I said, it's the kind of thing that unless you do it, you almost can't bid it because. And they have.
Now, when you bid it.
Before,
you bid it, you have a bid scope describing what you're going to do, your missions and inclusions.
They tell you what they want done and how they want it done. For example, when you go out and do a cleanup job, maybe there's 10 tires. Okay, so you have to do a tire manifest and get rid of the tires, but you got to know how much that's going to cost you to get rid of these tires. So that's one item that you're bidding.
Yeah, I heard you say that earlier.
Yeah. So
well,
just,
what it sounds like to me is that
variables.
What it sounds like to me, and of course, I'm not in Fresno, and I never have participated in those type of activities. When we bid on projects, those projects are rarely or widely known. We receive faxes by general contractors that's looking for subcontract bids for a steel erection. And, you know, we've done the whole, we erected the whole building. And didn't it wasn't no thing of that you gave somebody this, somebody that. Yes,
right.
Some projects we certified as minority, MBE. I didn't go through all of those certifications because it's kind of like a waste of time. But we certified as WBE. And you know, in the city of St. Louis, when I was doing work there, they set the minimum goals. The public schools had a goal like 35%. And if I bid the entire structural package, I took the whole thing. It wasn't no 35%. But what it was, when the general contractor placed his bid, he had to list the WBE or the MBE, I'm sorry, that they are using.
Right, right.
And the MBE's price. And that's publicly known. Now, what happens if they don't have it, then all those numbers go out for the public to see. And, you know, contractors don't want their numbers to be seen because if they say, well, we can bid it again, well, they don't blew it all. But what you got, apparently you have something on a smaller scale, and it sounds like it's coming beneath a minimum amount where they would have to get as formal as I just got through saying. And I have heard something like what you're talking about, that committee. I knew a person that bidded a job for a sewer district, and it was some shenanigans that was going on. But I tell you what, if it's some federal money involved in it, then, you know, you can recoup on a heck of a federal lawsuit when that kind of stuff be going on. It's almost at the point of collusion.
Yeah,
that's pretty serious.
Yeah, I don't know where all their money comes from for the project or any of that. I mean, I just assume it comes from the city general.
I bet it comes from community development block grant money. That's what it sounds like to me. Because
you're probably right. You're probably.
You might want to check that if it's coming from the Department of, it's coming from HUD. That's where your community development block grant money comes down to the states. Then the states distribute it to the city. Based on what they request and so on and so on and so on. So it sounds like that's what it is to do the very things of the activities that you have been describing.
Well, I'll check that. I'll check and see where their funding comes from. I'll probably ask tomorrow.
All right, we're going to open it up to 5172. Welcome to the Dr. Hasback Lives Matter Show. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, Reverend Harris. Thank you for doing this show. I just wanted to, this is Aileen, and I just wanted to follow up what the brother was saying about the block grant. If Brother Al wants to contact Brunette Harris or Diane Smith of HEAT, they have extensive research on block grants and the way they are distributed in Fresno, city of Fresno, and they can help you with that, brother. They will be able to tell you whether or not that money is, you know, coming from the block grant. I just wanted to say one thing. And the one thing that I want to say, because I've been listening the whole time, the one thing I want to say is this systematic white privilege and white supremacy that is at work in the city of Fresno and county of Fresno is endemic to the Central Valley here. And this is one of the reasons why myself and the committee we're working on for the Progressive Black Summit is so important. Brother Al, we need you, your family, your block, everybody who is interested in pushing black community forward in Fresno. We're asking them to come out on October 26th and 27th to this summit where we're going to be having panels talking about disrupting the school-to-prison pipeline, talking about education and the way it works at Fresno Unified, talking about small businesses and infrastructure in the city of Fresno, talking about religion and emotional support here in the city. Reverend Harris talks about this quite often, that we have a problem here in Fresno. And part of the problem that we have is not just white accountability looking for fairness and justice, but black accountability as well. We might have black people who are in positions to help one another, and they are too afraid to reach out and help their brother or sister. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid of this or that. Whatever the case may be, we're going to have to pull together. And so this thing that's happened to you, I've heard many stories of this. I don't know if you remember a local contractor by the name of Ed Richardson. He's passed on now, but I grew up right next door to Ed and Mary Richardson and their four children. And so my dad was a construction worker, so they used to talk quite often. And he used to talk about the problems that he had in the city of Fresno getting, you know, big contracts. Uh-huh. You know, he did a lot of work on my mom's house in the late 80s. And my mom told him, she said, well, listen, I'm choosing you no matter who else bids, whatever. And she had that choice, so he wound up getting that job. But we have to pull together as people. And so the brother who called in just, who was on the line just before me, you know, he gave good advice about those block grants. So I just want to say, Brother Al, that, you know, those of us who are listening tonight are with you. If we need to show up at City Hall, you know, when you're there, I mean, I can't go tomorrow, but, hey, if I have more notice, man, I'll be down
there. Don't worry about, I'm trusting that God will deliver me through this. And I sometimes God has to close my door so he can open another door for you. So whatever happens,
all right,
I'm willing to live with it, okay? I'm not going to walk out crying one way or the other.
Yes.
My thing is, I'm just not going to go laying down. Okay, they're going to know that they had a fight for me no matter what.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Brother, you keep the faith. You keep the faith.
The people you said I need to contact?
Her name is Brunette Harris, and the other woman's name is Diane Smith. They have a group called HEAT, and I can't remember if it's H-E-A-T or H-E-E-T. But they deal with the gentrification that's going on in Southwest Fresno. And they've been at this a long time. They have copies of the general plan going back to the late 1970s and the Southwest Pacific plans in the last 20, 30, 40 years. So, contact Brunette Harris or Diane Smith of HEAT. You might be able to Google them. And, they'll be able to help you. And I don't talk to them very often, but Reverend Harris might know how to get a hold of them as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, brother. All right, I'm going to just listen now.
So, Brother Al, what we're going to do is we're going to get you Sister Burnett's phone number. We know her. We work with her. I just wanted to give I'm going to be contacting Miguel Arias in the morning, let him know that this is going to City Council. What I like to do as well is put you in contact with him so you can speak to him directly or his chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
As well as calling the mayor office as well to let them know that this is going on. Again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's really important that black people support one another in this city. If we don't support each other, what do we really have? You know, all the other ethnics are supporting each other. Why is it so hard for us to support one another? It's not hard. We just need to do it.
It's not hard.
You know what I mean? And be finished with it, okay? So there's an injustice here. We want clarity here. We pay taxes here. And all we're asking for is fairness. And if we can't get fairness, Dr. King said three things. When there's a problem, I need a problem. Second, negotiate it. Third, direct action. So we're going to follow those steps that Dr. King had for us and left with us. And we just want to say thank you, Brother Al. And I'll be in contact with you in the morning.
Could I ask Al another question before he leaves, sir?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, Al, I wanted to, do you have a Black Contractors Association, or do you have an agency that monitors the affairs of minority contractors?
You know, I don't think. Troy, do you know if there's anybody in prison? I mean, I know that there were certainly several attempts and all that, and I think there was one out of Bakersfield that they started, but I don't think. Unless I'm wrong, I don't think there's one in Fresno. Do you, Troy?
No, we don't have one here. In this region here, we don't.
Yeah, that would help. And the lady says she made mention of someone who's very close with community development block grant money. And, you know, like I said before, when time comes for that money to be divvied up amongst the states, what they do call is meetings of the communities. And you know, you can lodge a complaint and make a complaint of you experiencing discrimination, which is forbidden with those type of monies coming from the federal government. So you got opportunity to do quite a bit of damage for the betterment of the situations that you're describing, but you know, you're gonna have to do some homework. It sounds like you got good support in the gentleman who's hosting the show. And also the lady that called in with some pertinent information, too. Anyway, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Brother Al, so we'll be in contact with you in the morning, and
okay,
we'll make sure that we do our due diligence to get you to Miguel Arias, real nice councilman that's really trying to do some positive things in the community. And so I know that if something's not right, and he's not afraid to address it or what have you. So I'll make a call into the mayor's office as well. If you can find out for me or for us what item that falls under for the language on the agenda so I can direct them to that. And I guess when you go and speak, at least somebody will have an idea. We'll try to call Esper. What is her name? Esperosa or the Aline?
Esmeralda Soria.
Yeah, we'll call her too, as well as some others on the council for you as well.
Okay, I think my daughter's got that information. So what I'll do is I'll text that to you.
Okay.
So you know what item it is on the agenda.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, you can stay on the phone, Brother Al, or you can turn in. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about some police issues right now, but I'll be in contact with you in the morning.
Okay.
We're now going to shift. We're at the 1 hour mark. We I have a black contractor having some problems right now with the city of Fresno being done unjustly. We're going to shift here. I believe Brother Doug has sent me a message. Let me see what he sent to me. I think it was dealing with this police issue here, police harassment. And he said to me, Reverend Floyd Harris Jr., when you get a pause, what's your comment on the issue of the Fresno police officer beating the young black gentleman? I'm wondering why there is no outrage in the Fresno community? Question mark, three question marks. Do you see this as something they sweep under the rug? Doug Best. Doug Best is one of our community folks here as well. Well, before I go into the, I want to kind of answer his question before we watch the video. Well, we can watch the video while I talk. Well, Brother Doug, it's like this. I believe that the city of Fresno has been able to see if I can get that bigger. The city of Fresno has been able to isolate a lot of our black leadership in our community. And so anything that our black young males do, no matter what it is wrong. Because you have to understand, about 10 years ago, I believe it was Duncan who made the comment. He said, make no mistakes, they're terrorists. They're terrorists. Mm. He was making reference to black people, just like those over in Iraq killing innocent people. So what you see going on now with the Fresno Police Department, which has intentionally bought off black pastors, intentionally have bought off black leadership to numb them by giving them little perks, grants, and things like that. They are not to say anything about anything that goes on when it comes to community policing here in Fresno. When you look at the statistics right now, when it comes to black men in our community, you will see how lopsided the statistics are. But because Dyer was able to manipulate and give this ridiculous statement about black gangs, as if black gangs, we don't have no, we don't, like, there's only black gang, no other gangs but black in Fresno. You see that he did not go after the Asian gangs, the Bulldogs, and call them terrorists. Now, I want to get into this video because I it was just sent to me yesterday. And you can see right now the young man is on the ground with his mouth busted wide open, his eyes busted open. And I'm going to play this video here because what we see here in this video, and I'm just going to pause it right now, there's about 15 police officers. Look like they're upstairs. And you see over here to the side right here, these young men over here are look like probably handcuffed or whatever, plastic on their wrists, sitting down. Now, the let me use a pen here. These, like, so it got to be at least 7 to 8, 10 officers up here. Look like they're going into a house or something. And they have this brother here with his hands behind up, and you see the officer here with his hands on his elbow. This officer is here. There's another officer there. There's another officer here. So you got one, look like two, three. Let's see here. Two, three. So you got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So you got eight officers, it look like. There's two on this man and like eight officers, period. That's right there. Okay, so we're gonna play this here. I'm not gonna play the volume. Just wanna. Okay, so he pat him down. Okay, he pat him down. This officer is looking at him. This officer is looking at him. This officer is looking at him. There's another officer right here by the door. And there's also, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, and there's another officer over here is 8. So you have 8 officers right now. They just patted this young brother down. I hope Doug is still on. I don't know if he's on here or not. Are you on here, Doug? I don't know if you're on there, Doug. But anyway, so you got 8 officers right here. They just patted this young brother down. Okay. All right. Now, you could tell that he's not happy with what they did, but he hasn't broken any law. Okay. Now, what happens is he walks away. Okay. He's talking to his partners on the ground. None of these officers right here feel threatened for no reason. The lady officer is right here. She's looking at him as he walked over there. All right. Now, they didn't put handcuffs on him for whatever reason. All right. He stops. The lady officer is still looking at him. Still no threat. You got all these officers here. Still no threat. But you got this officer right here. For some reason, he looks angry. This cat right here, he looks angry. Okay. We're going to play it. All right. Now, look at what just happened. The lady officer is here. He reaches out towards the brother. Now, the brother ain't got no weapons on him because they just, these two officers just frisked him, right? Let's play it. So this officer grabs him by the arm. So understand when I say that when this government, Fresno City Council, with Dyer as the chief, called our children terrorists. Okay, so to me, all these cops look at black men as terrorists. Okay, now, so he grabbed the young man and he pulls him back. These officers over here is like trying to see who's in the house or whatever. Now, it looked like, okay, now, so if you look at it now, this officer here grabbed him by the arm and pulled him into his face. This is the disrespect that happens with Fresno PD, okay? Now, the lady officer is still over there. This officer here is trying to figure out, well, what the heck is going on? We just frisked this dude. So, let's play it. All right. Now, the brother is saying, man, what are you doing, man? You see the officer still got his hand on his arm right here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the brother is looking at the officer saying, man, why are you grabbing on me? This is the disrespect that happens in Fresno PD. But see, you have to understand, this mindset was pushed by the chief of police and the Fresno City Council. All right? So the brother's trying to talk to the dude, say, man, why are you grabbing me, man? You know, what's going on? Then the next thing happened, you see the officer now is throwing the first punch at his head. Right there, right there, right there. Now, all these officers are looking like, what the hell? This officer looking. These two officers just pat him down. This lady officer over here is shocked like hell, like, what you doing? This officer here is like, he's shocked like, why are you hitting him? Now, the officer hit the brother. I gotta count how many licks he hit this kid right here. So let's play this again. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see that part. Check this out. Okay, this officer here is frisking him. Let him go. But this officer right here he got his hand on his gun. He just frisked the brother. This officer let him go over there. This officer right now grabbed his gun, trying to figure out what's going on in the house. The officer just took his gun out of his holster right here. So the brother is over here. He cool. This cop got his hand on his gun, hand on his gun. All the cops got their guns up. Grabbing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So now all the officers jump on the brother as if he done something wrong when the cop is the one who initiated all of the silliness. Now they're pulling out handcuffs. So the question that Brother Doug asked me was, why is there no outcry about this situation here? And, okay, watch this now. When this cop walks by, let's see if he has a gold patch. Gold patch. So this is a supervisor. So one of the things they have to understand, if you see a cop with a gold patch, it's a supervisor. So the supervisor was watching all this while it took place up on the steps. So the supervisor stepped to the side right here. There's a little baby. Oh, wait a minute. There's a little baby in here. I didn't even see that. There's a little baby right here. There's a little baby right there. Look at the little baby right there. Now the little baby is traumatized. Baby's trying to figure out what the heck is going on. The gold patch supervisor is right here. Supervisor right here. Gold patch supervisor right here. Cop come. Now, the interesting part about this is, I believe the chief says this is disturbing. I said disturbing? What's disturbing about your cop using excessive force with a supervisor standing right there? What's surprising about this? You've been doing this for your whole career to our black men here in this city. So, Brother Doug, I wanted to dissect this here tonight so everyone can see, because I believe there's some black people in our community that feels that Fresno PD does no wrong. This was caught on their camera. So let's talk about if there was no camera there. We advocated for our cops to get cameras. So what happens if there were no cameras? The kid nose is busted. The kid nose is busted. He's bleeding. He's bleeding real hard. You have the supervisor that's there watching all of this. They're wrestling him to the ground like he's some kind of animal. The police officer initiated this whole act right here. Now, I'm told that they dropped all charges on this brother. But now he's suing the Fresno Police Department. So the question that Brother Doug asked me was, how come there's no outcry in the community about this? Well, they don't look at black people as human. That's why. Who values black people in Fresno? I mean, I mean, this was a real training. Look, twisting his arm. You mean tell me to take 10 police officers to put handcuffs on one young man? You just busted his nose, busted his mouth. Your supervisor is right there. You got your knee on his neck. You see that right here? He got his knee on his neck in the back. But you come with bounce houses and hot dogs in our community.
I said disturbing. What's disturbing on his neck? You see that right here? He got his knee on his neck in the back.
So, you know, I just don't.
But you come with bounce houses and hot dogs in our community.
You know, Brother Doug, I'm just concerned, you know. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and end the show tonight. We got to help Brother Al in the morning, so we'll go ahead and help Brother Al. Brother Al, we love you. We're going to stand with you, my brother. And stay tuned tomorrow. We'll be contacting you.